life. Well, as no surprise to anyone now, we know that this is the very first Sunday of Advent in 2025. And for the next 3 weeks, today and the next 2 weeks, the Lord willing, we're going to be talking about one of the most phenomenal events in all of history. And what might that event be? And it was indeed the showing of the Christmas star. What we know is the purpose of this star was to authenticate and publicize the incarnation of Jesus. Now, I thought about it for a while and thought about this word incarnation. It's a word that's often used, and I wonder if we fully understand it. So I thought we'd put a definition of the word incarnation on the screen. The incarnation is the embodiment of God the Son in human flesh as Jesus Christ. That's what incarnation means. God the Son in human flesh here on earth. So let us hear part of the Christmas story as we find in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. If we are looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 956. But as you know, the words are faithfully placed on the screen. So let us hear the word of God. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem and Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. The beautiful story of the Christmas star, sometimes called the Bethlehem star. And when it's called the Bethlehem star, it's there for a purpose, because it is pointing us to the babe of Bethlehem. We know that Jesus came to this earth in the form of a baby. He grew to be an adult, grew to be a man, and he started his ministry among us around age 30. Over these next few weeks, the Lord willing, we're going to take a look at this Christmas star. We're going to look at it from three standpoints. Number one, as the guiding star. Number two, as the guiding star. And number three, as the gladdening star. This morning, we're just going to look at the first point, and that is, it was a guiding star. In Jerusalem, the Magi, sometimes called wise men, or sometimes called kings, they traveled from the east, and they asked the king of Israel, he was a self-proclaimed king, incidentally, Herod, they asked him this question, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." We don't know a great deal about these magi or wise men. However, this we know. They never would have known about the birth of the king. They would never have known how to find him if it had not been for the guiding star. We're reminded that this star was there not by accident. It was there placed by God deliberately, and there was a purpose. And the purpose was to lead, in this case, the wise men, the kings, the magi, to the Christ child. Just to think about it, this was the news that was being heralded in the heavens. Jesus, yet an infant, but yet a king. Amazing when we think about it. When little boys are born into a royal family, they come in as a prince. We've heard a lot about the British royal family these days, those who are princes and those who are not a prince anymore, all of those things going on. But Jesus wasn't born as a prince. He is the Prince of Peace, but when he came, he was born as king. At no other time in history has there ever been a star that announced the birth of a king. Now, there have been thousands, maybe millions of kings down through the ages, but none of them, their birth has never been announced by a star. But this is true in the case of Jesus. He was announced by a star. While we know that the kings came from the east, we do not specifically know from what country they came from. Perhaps it was Persia, or Arabia, or Mesopotamia, or Babylon. We're not sure. But what we do know is they came from a land somewhere east of Israel. And from any of these countries, the trip would not have been an easy one. We need to transport our minds back to the first century, and the modes of transportation sure would not have been easy. Some have speculated that perhaps they came all the way from Babylonia. You know that many years before that, the Jews were dispersed to Babylon, and they were there, and Daniel the prophet was there, and those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were with him, they were all there. And it's been speculated that perhaps they told the Babylonians something about the coming birth of a king. We really don't know what country they came from, and indeed it may have been Babylon. But whatever distance it was, whatever country it was, it took determination, it took strength, it took willpower, a sense of divine duty to make the journey, because the journey was not an easy one. These ancient pilgrims had to travel along vast distances and varied dangers. Along vast distances. The truth of the matter is, they were guided by this providential star. They might never have attempted the journey if the star didn't show them the birth of the king and show them the way. Let's put ourselves in their place. As magi, they were involved in studying the stars and the movement of the starry sky. If you and I were to go out, not on a night like what tonight might be, but if we were to go out in the country, not being affected by our streetlights, and look up into the heavens and see the stars, we would just marvel at the star, at the starry constellations that are out there, the magnificence. I keep thinking about Jesus. He is in control of everything. He's in control of the expansive universe in which all these stars are. He's in control of every little atom that makes up every particle. In him, all things consist. All things are held together. That means we are held together, all the atoms are held together, and even the universe is held together, all by the power of Jesus. Absolutely amazing when we come to think about it. And here they were. They were awe-inspired by what was going on in the heavens. They witnessed it. They saw it. It had a message for them, and they determined that they needed to do something. Not only were they fascinated by what was going on in the heavens, but also they were very attentive. And indeed, the phenomenon of this specific star and their understanding announced that a king had arrived, and it was significant. And not just any old king, but rather the king of Israel, that the king had arrived. Think about it. These magi, they were not Jews. Frankly, we don't know how much they knew about the Holy One of Israel. What they did know was a king was born, the king of Israel. They somehow knew the importance of this birth of a king to the world. Otherwise, think about it. They would not have made this horrendous journey hundreds of miles away to get to Bethlehem to see what was going on. absolutely amazing when we think about it. Maybe, just maybe, they knew a lot more about the Holy One of Israel than we speculate. But nonetheless, they made their journey. They knew enough that they decided to make the journey, a long journey to the land of Israel. They were irresistibly drawn by this star so they could come and worship the young king. And for them, no distance, didn't matter how long it was, no matter how vast, nothing was going to deter them. They had a mission. They had a goal. They were heading toward it. And they started out to do so. As we hearken back to the first century in our mind's eye, we know that transportation was greatly limited. They were traveling wherever they were going. It was either by walking or by horseback or by chariot or by camel or by a wagon of some nature. This is the way in which they had to travel hundreds of miles in order to get from where they were to where they wanted to be. There was no modern transportation like today. And we are reminded that nothing was going to deter them from making this journey. It's marvelous when we think about it. We look out the window today and we see the snow. There are people who are deterred from coming to church because of the weather. But these wise men, regardless of what was going to happen, they were going to reach their destination. As I think about people attending church today, our congregation travels both in long distances to come to church, to worship the king. I remember when I was in Africa on two occasions, there were three or four statements that stuck with me. Here was one. North Americans, people in North America, all have many watches, each one. But we Africans have the time. We have the time to do whatever is necessary. We're not controlled by a watch. Secondly, North Americans travel great distances to attend church. They travel distances, great or otherwise, and if the service lasts longer than an hour, it's not worth going. However, in Africa, if a church service only lasts an hour, it's not worth going. They go for a long period of time. The third statement that I remember was, plan for the best, but prepare for the worst. Plan for the best. That's true in Africa, but when we think about it, it's true here as well. We need a plan for the best, and then we need to prepare for the worst. The resulting fact is this. With modern transportation and its convenience, we really have no excuse for not attending church on a Sunday. Luis Paulo was an Argentinian-born American. He became American. He became a great evangelist. It's estimated that he spoke to over 25 million people sharing the gospel message, sharing it in Spanish as he talked. There were millions of people who came to listen to him. And they were in an Argentinian country, or county on one occasion, and he was going to preach. And the rains came pouring down, tumbling down. And Luis Paulo and his staff met together, and they said, I think we really reluctantly need to cancel the service. There's just too much rain. So they canceled the service, sent the news out on the radio. And then when they went to the stadium, just in case somebody showed up, hundreds of busloads of people came. And they said, why did you come? It's so rainy. And their answer was, we don't mind the rain. We don't mind the rain. The wise men did not mind the climatic conditions. The wise men did not mind the distance that they had to go. They knew they wanted to go and worship the king. Nothing was going to stand in their way. They traveled along vast distances, and they traveled among varied dangers. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Now think about it. Try to, in the theater of our minds, trying to put ourselves back into this position with the Magi. They were going to come from a country in the east and come to Israel to worship the king. It must have been quite a thought, and it's filled with incredible dangers. There were bands of robbers who were always on the trade routes, and wherever caravans would travel, they would be there to rob and to kill and destroy. Incidentally, when we think about it, that's the whole motive of Satan. to rob, to kill, and destroy, to get us away from worshiping the Lord. And when you think that these wise men coming from the east to Israel, they were going to be accosted by people, and yet they came. Nothing was going to deter them. We know in Scripture that they presented three gifts to the king, to Jesus, gold and frankincense or incense and myrrh. And very often people have made the assumption that, well, if there were three gifts, there were only three wise men. In fact, what we see in Scripture often, not in Scripture, in plays that we have, Christmas concerts and so on, we often see there were three wise men that came. But think about it for a while. If they were traveling all this distance, they came in a caravan. They had to come to bring food. They were traveling many miles, 1,700 miles, I think it was, they estimate that they traveled. And they had to bring an entourage of people with them. So they had animals. They had horses or donkeys and camels. They had wagons. They had people. They had to have people to set up camp and take down camp, get ready to go. They had to have people to prepare the meals and clean up after the meals. All of these had to happen in order for them to make a safe journey from hundreds of miles away to Israel. And it has been speculated that perhaps there were around 200 people who actually came. Three gifts, but 200 people who came. I can understand why Herod was so upset. He didn't know about the king. He heard about the king. And then if this entourage of people came in, a caravan came in to see him. And where is he that is born king of the Jews, that this would have disturbed him greatly? We know that Herod was disturbed and some horrendous action he determined after that. But that's a message for another day. Now, here was the Christmas star. And it was in the sky to guide people to come to worship Jesus, the wise men. Did you ever stop to think that Christmas Day is a guiding star for us? Oh, I know that people throughout the world don't celebrate Christmas Day as Christians perhaps should be doing so, but nonetheless, it is on the calendar. It is there. And as we think about it over a period of time, we start to think more and more about the birthday of the king, the birthday of the king at Christmas time. We know as we take a look at Scripture and the time of year, the birth of Jesus probably was not on December the 25th. Most likely was not. But that day has been set aside and set aside for us to remember the birthday of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that we light the Advent candle. And you may or may not know, there's nothing in Scripture that tells us that we should light the Advent candle. But it was a way in which to get the masses of people to begin to concentrate on what was coming, concentrate on Christmas Day. Actually, it began in 380 AD. So 380 years after our Savior, people started to include an Advent wreath and to light the candles. And the purpose of it was to point us toward Christmas Day and the purpose of Christmas Day. And we're reminded of the Star of Bethlehem and the Babe of Bethlehem. And that's what we are celebrating over these next number of weeks. On Christmas Day, as it draws closer, you and I need to think about it. Do you remember when they came, the angels came, and they appeared to the shepherds? And we read these words, "And the glory of the Lord shone around them." The glory of the, can you imagine being out in the open, in the shepherd's fields, looking after the sheep? It seems it was at night. There was this brightness, and the angels appeared, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. I'm so intrigued when the angels said, "Fear not," or "Do not be afraid." I think if I'd been in that setting, a few shepherds looking after the sheep, and all of a sudden, in the darkness of the night, the place lit up, and there was a heavenly host, and the angels were there, I would wonder, would I be nervous? But then we read, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." That's the modern translation. The King James translation was, "Fear not, fear not." Amazing how many times we see in Scripture, "Fear not." God knows that we as humans can become very fearful. But the very first thing he says, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born to you. When the wise men, the Magi, appeared before Mary, they were no longer in a manger. I know that our Christmas concert scenes often have shepherds and wise men all in a manger. And of course, that's when Jesus was born, and he was born in a manger. But by the time the wise men, the kings, got there, they were no longer in the manger. They were in a house. The wise men did follow the guiding star to lead them to the Savior. For people today, believers or non-believers, Christmas Day, in many ways, our modern day star, can lead us to the Savior. Some may have to travel great distances, some in time and space, others just in terms of their spiritual walk. They may have to travel a great distance to come to understand what it means to worship the King. There are many people who need to learn, they need to be saved from the ravages of sin in order to end up in glory. They need to learn that they cannot save themselves. They need to learn that they need a Savior, and they need to learn that Jesus is the only one who could save them. A few very important words. When we think about it, to come to the conclusion involves a tremendous change of thought. After all, we have grown up in a society that has an axiom that you have to earn what you get. You have to work hard for what you get. And we are employed in order to get money, in order to get what we think we need to have. Now, that's the way in which we grow up. We've learned that all through the years. However, now we learn we can't earn salvation. We can't earn this free gift because it's free. It only comes to us. It's already paid for. Jesus paid for it, offers it to us, and in faith, we need to reach out. That is a tremendous mental change when a person reaches the point, I cannot earn my way, I don't deserve my way, Jesus has provided the way, and all I need to do is put my trust in him. The fact is, people will never be at spiritual rest until they encounter, in terms of experience, complete rest in and trust in Jesus, placing all of our trust in him. I have one further African example. Often the services lasted 3 hours or more. People traveled many miles, many of them walking, just to get there on a Sabbath day, on a Sunday, in order to worship the Lord. They were excited about going to be present in the Lord's presence. They waited, they longed for, they wanted to be taught. They longed for the word of God in their hearts. I remember one archdeacon who spoke to me and said, "We are so glad you came because you have come to preach the word of God. We want to hear the word of God." And that started me thinking, I wonder how many of us come to church longing to hear the word of God. We may long to be in the presence of God's people. We may long to be in the presence of Jesus who is with us. But do we long to hear his word? Is that why we come to church? May God's precious Holy Spirit lead us to long for his word so that it can be applied to how we live our life. Our Father and our God, we offer praise unto you for the Christmas star leading us to the babe of Bethlehem. But we also thank you for Christmas Day that leads us as a guiding star to us, that we need to celebrate our Savior's birth. But we look to him not just as a babe in the manger, but as our Savior, the one who died on the cross to pay for our sin. Oh Lord, we are so grateful. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.